There are areas in the Bible talks about us asking God for things. In way of introduction to, you know, in the Bible, our message tonight, you know, asking God is encouraged in the Christian's life. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, Christ says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." But folks, you'll never get an answer unless you ask. You'll never find something unless you look for it. And you need to be asking for the right things and looking in the right areas. We need to ask God for everything. Over the last couple of weeks, we've looked at this passage a couple of times in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything, by what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. See, God's not going to act by osmosis. He wants you to come to Him so He can work, so you know it's the relationship that's doing it and He's doing it. So we need to ask God, because that's encouraged. We need to ask God for everything. We need to ask God in His will. More on that in a minute. Many years ago, there was a book written called The Prayer of Jabez. And in this prayer, it was basically on one verse, but it talked about how God answered that prayer. And the reason God answered that prayer was because it was in God's will for Jabez to have these things. We need to ask for things that God wants us to have. What does God want us to be? To look like Him. He wants us to glorify Him. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand may be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." See, all those things are in line with what God wants in your life. God wants to bless your life. God wants you to have an enlarged coast. He wants to give us life abundantly. He wants to give us joy unspeakable. He wants to give us peace that passeth understanding. He wants to give us things that's beyond what we could even ask or even think. And this is in God's will. And that God's hand would be on us. Oh, folks, we need to pray for God's hand to be on us. That's His will. And then that will keep us from what? Evil. Even Christ, when He gave a model prayer, He says, "And deliver us from what? Evil." And deliver us from evil. Okay? "That it may not grieve me." You know, people won't serve when they're grieving. People will get focused on the grief and will get focused on the sorrow instead of going forth. And God granted him that which he what? Requested. We had praise tonight for answer to prayer. The other night we just had a little testimony time and people were talking about how God had worked in their lives and answered prayer. See, we need to ask God because He encourages us to do it. We need to ask God for everything. We need to ask God in His will. And asking God in our relationship with God, what we ask God for, basically reveals our relationship with God. There's three different levels that you can find in the Scripture about relationship with God. You can have a deep relationship with God. In Psalm chapter 25, verse 4, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy path." Here's a person that asks God to show him where he needs to go in God's place, in God's timing, in God's direction, with God's power. Here's a deep relationship. And then teach me my path. You ask God for wisdom, you get it. You ask God to teach you truth, you'll get it. But folks, you have not because you ask not. So how's your prayer life? How's your relationship when you talk to God? Is it deep? Or is it like Israel? You know, Israel came over the Red Sea. They got about 3 days in the wilderness and, hey, we're out of water. Hey, we're out of food. Hey, this is not great. Let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back to Egypt. They had a shallow relationship. And I fear that a lot of us today have this level of relationship with God. We want God to work in our life, but we're not willing to sell out to Him. And in Psalm 106, verse 15, they asked for food. They asked for quail. They asked for other things so they could be sustained. And it says in the verse, it says, He gave them what? Their request. You know, my God will supply all my need according to His what? Riches and glory. See, here's the problem with Israel, though. The problem with Israel, God knew that they needed food. God knew that they needed water. God knew that they were basically unprotected out there. He just didn't want them to whine about it. He wanted them to have faith to see God work and glorify Him. But see, we're impatient, aren't we? We want something. He says, and He gave them the request, but sent leanness unto their soul. See, the issue is there's things that God gives us, but it may not be in the best timing, it may not be in the best way, and in fact, it just may just show that we have a shallow relationship. And we know later on, Israelite just keeps on complaining. They tempt God 10 times in the wilderness. Folks, if you have a shallow relationship, you're going to keep on coming back to the same problems over and over again. So do you have a deep relationship with God? Do you have a shallow relationship with God? Or do you have no relationship with God? In James chapter 4, verse 3, it says, ye ask and you receive not because you ask amiss. There's no consideration of what's best for your spirit or what's more glorifying for God. He says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust. See, what we need to do is we need to act differently than the world. This is what the world does. And if they don't get it, they blame God for not getting it. Not understanding that it's their lack of relationship that's causing it. So, you know, these are the times that we request things to God. We ask God for this and we ask God for that. But you know something? God asks for us to do things tonight. So tonight I want us to look at 3 requests of the Lord Jesus. That kind of goes along on the barometer of our relationship with Christ. So 3 requests of the Lord Jesus. The first one was on the last night of Christ's physical life. He had just had the Lord's Supper. Before then, He had washed the disciples' feet. He gave them a great object lesson and servitude and how to serve one another and how to love one another. He's revealed Judas to betray Him. He is about ready to get denied by Peter 3 times. But after the Lord's Supper, they went to the Mount of Olives and He prayed. He left the bulk of His disciples behind and He took Peter, James, and John further with Him. And as He wanted to go, because Christ is in a crisis now in His human nature. He knows what's going to happen. It's God's will that it happens. But I tell you what, there's not a lot of people just want to just willingly go and suffer what he's going to suffer. And so he asked all the disciples, he specifically asked those closest to him, he says, watch with me. Watch with me. And in Matthew chapter 26, verse 38, then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Folks, there's a lot of people in crisis today. There's a lot of people that need people to watch with them. The Lord is in his holy temple. He is sitting on his throne. His eyes are open. He sees what we're going through. And he wants us to watch with him. Here the disciples, he says, hey, just watch with me. And you know the story. You know the story. You know what happens. He goes a little further. And he goes and he prays. And he comes back less than an hour later and he finds them what? Asleep. Wakes them up and says, hey, watch and pray because the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. And he goes back and he prays again. And what happens to the disciples? They all fall asleep again. See, here is Christ asking for people to watch with him. Folks, we talked about it this morning. Why is America's foundations crumbling? People are not watching. Or people are watching, but they're not doing anything about it. And so he comes back the second time. He's got resolution on this. He's got peace with God. And he finds them all asleep. And he says, just sleep on now. The crisis is over. Oh, folks, how many times does things go by us and we don't see it because we're asleep? Christ wants us to watch with him. He basically gives two commands here to the disciples. And this is what we need to do. He told his disciples, he says, stay here. Don't run off. Stay where I tell you to be. And watch with me. Folks, we need to stay in where God tells us to stay and watch where God tells us to watch. So he says, tarry ye here. God wants us here in his house. God wants us here in our prayer closet. God wants us here when we read our Bible. He says, stay here. And then secondly, stay alert. He says, look, I'm having a crisis here. He says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto what? Death. Please watch with me. There's a lost and dying that's crying out. And what are we doing about it? You know, we're praying. I'm so happy that our church prays for Haley. Because even though we don't know what she looks like, don't know where she is, don't know what she's doing right now, we can still pray. Amen. And we're watching with Carlos and Dee Dee. And we need to continue in prayer. Because that's a comfort. Knowing that other people are watching. It was a comfort to Rebecca over in Germany. Knowing that the church was praying for her. But how many of us say, we'll pray for you, and then we go asleep? See, in Romans chapter 13, verse 11, it says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. See, the disciples couldn't watch. They fell asleep. And Christ said, "What? Why can't you do this? Why can't you do this? Okay? Wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Tonight, maybe Christ is asking you to watch with Him. Maybe there's something that we need to watch for our country. We need to watch for our church. We need to watch for our families. We need to watch in our own lives. The second thing that Christ asked us, remember me. Remember me. Talking about the Lord's Supper. And he says, this is something, when he instituted, he says, this is something that you need to keep on doing over and over and over again to really remember this night. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, Paul talks about it too, and he says, and Paul wasn't there, but Paul got instructed by God. Folks, when God tells us to do something, we need to do it. He tells us to watch with Him. He tells us to remember Him. It says, and when He given thanks, He break it. And this is what we do every Lord's Supper. And we're going to have a Lord's Supper here in a couple of weeks. When He given thanks, He break it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." You know, today, in today's world, we just kind of get so busy that we don't take time and meditate on how God is really good to us. We need to thank Him for all of our benefits. He told Joshua, he says, "You'll meditate my law both day and night." In Psalm 119, it says, "I'll meditate in your precepts." But we need to meditate on what God has done. I want to give you three things to meditate on about the life of Christ. The first thing we need to remember about is we need to remember about His love. We need to remember about His love every day. In John chapter 15, verse 13, it says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Then he goes on and says, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you to do." Oh, Christian, every morning, remember Christ's love. Secondly, we need to remember His life. In John chapter 14, verse 11, Christ is dealing with the cross. The cross is coming closer and closer. The end of His ministry is coming closer and closer. And as it gets closer and closer, the opposition gets greater and greater. And in John 14, verse 11, it says, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." Oh, what has God done for you in the past that you can remember? What prayers has He answered that you could say, "Yes"? What things have happened that you could say, "Yes, I understand that I'm walking with God. I have a relationship with Him." See, we need to remember His love. We need to remember His life. And then we always need to remember His sacrifice. My being God speaking here. My being Christ speaking here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, for ye are unleavened." Let me read this to you again. See, if we remember Christ for what He has done for us, for His love, for His life, it'll be a life-changing experience. We'll have a defining moment in our life. We'll have a drastic turn of direction. And it says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a what? A new lump. If any man be in Christ, he's a what? new creature. Old things pass away. All things become new. Because as ye are what? Unleavened. We stand justified in the sight of God because of Christ right now. But just because we're justified in Christ, in God's sight right now, doesn't mean we can go on and live our lives as if we're not. See, because I'll tell you this. How many times have you been given instructions on something and then forgotten them? Ah, everybody's starting to look at each other. I see you too. Okay? Look at each other. We get instructions and we forget. Or we say we're going to do something and we forget. You know why we forget? Because we don't take time to remember. We don't take time to remember. You know, remember the moment that you got saved? How you had that release? Where's that feeling of release now? You know, after time, things kind of get old. That's what happened in Israel. We need to remember. He says, as often as you do it, do this in remembrance of me. We need to remember His life, His love. We need to remember His life, and we need to remember His sacrifice. Well, I think you could probably guess what the third one is. What do you think the third one is? Follow me. Follow me. In John chapter 21, verse 19, Christ is speaking to Peter. What's happened in the first cup and the verses that come to us? Peter, do you love me? Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. And then he says, feed my sheep. And then just a few moments later, Peter, do you love me? God, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Then he says a third time, Peter, do you love me? Now, for the discriminating person, if someone just keeps on talking to you and saying the same thing, and you just parrot back the answer, something's not happening. We're not communicating. Okay? I get in trouble with Angie a lot on this. He says something, yeah, but what did I just say? Ah, guilty. Okay? But do you really hear what God's saying here? Peter, are you listening? Are you listening? Do you love me? And what happened was, as God says, Christ keeps on using the same word for love, and Peter just keeps on changing the words that he uses. Well, that answer didn't go. We'll try a different way. Well, the answer, that one didn't work, so we'll try it a different way. See, God wants us to be on the same page with Him. And what happened with Peter? Instead of kind of being introspective and examining himself, he kind of gets frustrated. Hey, why do you keep on asking me this? Because you're not listening. You know what do? We start yelling at each other, right? Because we think that yelling and raising your voice might get it into your ear. Nah. We need to listen to the still, small voice. And so, it goes on, and he talks about following Christ and loving Christ, and then God reveals how He's going to die. He says, you're going to go to a place you don't want to go. Things are going to happen to you that you don't want happening. And you're going to have a crisis just like I had. And it says, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. See, God gives us the whole picture. See, a lot of times we go down to a used car lot, we buy a car, and we don't get all the truth about the car, do we? We see it and say, that's okay, I'll take that car. God tells Peter what's going to happen the rest of his life and how he's going to die. And then he says, follow me. Think about this. What does that really mean? It means that there's going to be trouble coming. There's going to be good times. There's going to be bad times. There's going to be persecutions. There's going to be imprisonments. There's going to be opposition. There's going to be all this other stuff. And then you're going to die this death. But you still need to follow me. See, what Christ wants us to do, he just doesn't want us to follow him on Sunday.
Right.
Or on Sunday morning only. Or on Sunday and maybe Sunday night, maybe Wednesday night. He wants us to follow him every day of our life. And he wants us to follow him to the end of our life's journey. No matter when, where, or how that is. Look at Paul. They left Paul for dead several times. He just kept on going until God called him home. Folks, we need to be like the Energizer Bunny. Just keep on going and going and going until God takes us home.
Yeah.
So he says, follow me to the end of your life's journey. Now, Peter didn't get it. If you're familiar with the story, so this is in the book of John. And so what does Peter do? He looks at John, he points at John. Well, what's going to happen to him? Well, wait a second. That's not right. Why am I going through all this trouble? And he's not going to... He don't know what John's going to go through. See, did he get it? Yeah, he eventually gets it. But Peter's a lot like us. Kind of hard-headed. Kind of dense. You know, kind of need... be reminded over and over and over again to do all this stuff. Kind of like what happens when you get old. Okay? I understand that. See, we need to follow him all the way to the end of our life's journey, and then we need to follow him on the path that God puts you on. Your path is different than everybody else's path. My path is different than your path. Wherever God takes you, whatever God asks you to do, you need to follow him. A couple verses down in John 21, verse 22, Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, why do you care? Follow thou me. See, we let so many things get in the way of our service.
Right.
We get family to get involved in the way of our service. We get work to get in the way of our service. We get, I'm tired today, to get in the way of our service. Christ went to Gethsemane at the end of a long day. He says, my soul is sorrowful unto death. Can't you just watch with me? See, don't let things get in your way. This is what God's requesting us to do. He's asking us to watch with him. He's asking us to remember him. He's asking us to follow him. Oh, church. Oh, Christian. What is Jesus requesting from you tonight? Where is your level of relationship and how you talk to God? Is it deep? Is it shallow? Or is it non-existent? Only you can answer that question. And if it's shallow or non-existent, you need to get that fixed tonight. Amen. And God in His mercy and His grace has given us this evening to do that. And He's given us, Holy Spirit's working here tonight. We've read God's Word. We've seen the truth of it. And now it's time to do something about it. Do you know Him as your Savior? Do you know if you die right now, you go to heaven? Or is that something you say you're still working on? You say you're still working on it, you're not going there. You only go by just claiming what Christ did on the cross was for you. And asking for forgiveness. And believing that He's the Son of God. Believing that He died for your sins. Believe that He was buried. He rose again the third day. If you don't have that relationship, get it tonight. Just pray, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I don't deserve heaven. I know that You came to live a perfect life, to die on the cross for my sins. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. I believe that You were buried. I believe that You rose again. I believe that You could offer me eternal life. Lord, forgive me my sins and save me. That's all it takes. But you have to mean it from your heart. Christian, are we listening to Him? Are we following Him? Are we listening to the things that He requests? And then how's your prayer life? Could it be deeper? I think all of ours could be deeper. Amen? So let's deal with God tonight. Let Him deal with us. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, just ask Me this time of invitation. Father, help us, Lord, to follow You and listen to Your request. Lord, as someone that does not know You as Savior, Lord, tonight I pray that they would find You as Savior. Let Your Spirit have full reign tonight. Change our lives. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.